This is Just Talking It Up with Janet and Crash.
Welcome to Just Talking It Up. I'm Janet. I'm here with my buddy Crash, and we are just talking it up, and we're sure glad you're here joining us. And how are you, Crash?
I'm doing well. The weather around this country is diverse from, I guess that's true at any point in time, but certainly it's that way. Today, I'm in a warm climb, and I know that you are in a cold climb with snow, so let's
settle
back.
Somebody's got to do it, huh?
Absolutely. We'll settle back. A lot to talk about, but I need to ask you a question. You a lot of times are asking me a question. Let me ask you. We talked about I want to have a beer with Jesus, and would you have a beer with Jesus? And the implication was, would Jesus have a beer with us?
Don't you know that would be the best brew available?
It could probably,
if he was brewing it, boy howdy, I'd have a beer with Jesus.
and he could shorten fermentation time. I'm confident, Sixter. instant fermentation. But let me ask you something. Would Jesus shoot Bambi?
Whoa. The short answer is probably not. But
probably not. No,
probably not. You're talking about Bambi. I mean, come on. It's Bambi is a Disney. I mean, that's a baby. No, it doesn't mean that I'm right. I'm just going to say probably not. Well, however.
Yeah, that was said or asked to include Bambi's mother and dad and uncle and
Mom and dad and uncle. Okay,
grandfather and all, you know.
Yeah. Okay, the entire family. It's possible that he would wipe out everything but the babies. I don't know whether he would shoot a baby deer or not. But you know what? I believe that Jesus would be a hunter. I mean, he gave the animals to us for our pleasure and to be used for our needs.
For our needs or our sport? Now, are they different?
Well, or even for a living. I mean, when Peter was fishing and pulling fish out of the water, they were dying. They weren't eating them alive. I think he gave them to us for sport and for pleasure.
How many people do you know that go hunting, shoot Bambi or shoot Bambi's uncle? And I guess the next step is, so I've always thought, I'm not a hunter, but I've always thought that when you go out hunting, that sounds like a lot of fun until you shoot a deer. Then all of a sudden you got to go to work. Isn't that right?
Well, it is a job, but it's one of those things where, you know, the good comes with the bad, but there's still a good feeling when you're having to figure out how to drag this great big buck out of the woods. That's a good feeling. That's a feeling of pride, and it's the adrenaline rush, and it really is exciting. So, yes, it's work.
But the deer doesn't have a gun. How do you do that? They bait the fields and...
Oh, no. Well, every place in the country is different. You know, you can shoot over, you can't shoot over a baited field in my state, but there are states in your state, right there in Georgia, you can shoot over a baited field there. And that, to me, that's a little... It doesn't bother me, but it's not the way I would hunt. I would feel that was a little unfair. When you're feeding an animal, it's you're feeding it and you're getting it into a habit and you're bringing it over to the same place. And then when it comes to get a snack like it usually does, it gets a bullet in his heart. So that just seems a little, maybe it's not as sportsmanlike as I would like for me, but who's to judge?
Well, do you need to separate those that hunt for food from those that hunt for pure sport? And I guess there's a secondary part to that. Those that hunt for sport, what do they do with the meat? Because they all field dress, I guess, a deer, and then take off the meat, and do they, in the antlers, if those exist, then do they leave the rest in the woods, or what do they do?
Well, most hunters that I know don't actually field dress unless they're on their own land or they actually do their own, at least partial processing. Depends on how far you are away from civilization.
Right.
The way we hunt, we, you know, we would typically throw a deer into the back of a four-wheel drive vehicle and get it up to the car and take it to the processor. And you do that in a matter of just as soon as you can. You try to do it within under an hour. But now if you're way away from home and you're going to be staying there for a while, you better know how to field dress a deer.
Yeah.
I actually can, but you want to, I haven't done it in a long time, but if I could, if I had to, but if I knew I was in a place where if I get a deer, I couldn't get it to a processor quickly, I'd kind of run through, you know, remind myself before I actually went out, before I brought a deer down. But, you know, there are a lot of people that think of animals as the same as people. What do you think about that?
No, I do not think that at all. I think that they certainly have a brain because they are able to learn things, but I don't think they have a soul, and I think that probably defines what a human being is, that they have a soul that you and I believe strongly has an afterlife, and the soul is the essence of the human.
Well, I don't think Jesus died for animals. I know that he didn't die for an animal, but do you think there will be animals in heaven?
Well, now that's a tough question. I wrote an article on JTI just talking it up back when we were doing a lot of writing called "Will There Be Crabgrass in Heaven?" And my point was that my father loved to pick crabgrass out of regular grass so much that even if he had only a small plot, that I think Jesus will have one up there just so my dad can be happy picking it out of the ground. So. That may have been said tongue in cheek, but I accept that heaven is a place where God says we will be eternally happy. He has things that will make us happy beyond animals. I would think not, but have no idea.
And you reckon there will be hunting in heaven?
I would have to think that. I don't know. I'm going to kick that. I'm going to volley that.
You're such a coward.
baseball in heaven. There's got to be. I love it so much. There's got to be some baseball.
I think there's going to be hunting in heaven too.
Right,
I really believe that. I just think that there's a wonderful sport about tracking and about. Surprising, and it's not about domination or slaughter, and that's what so many of the animal rights people and so many of the anti-gun part of society, they really think that this is about the thrill of the slaughter, and it's just not. There's a beautiful part of hunting that is. It's just the overall umbrella. You know, when God gave us animals and gave us right to animals and gave us the rights to eat them, they're for our needs, they're for our pleasure as well. We also were given a great responsibility to keep a balance there. And the balance is you want to make, you know, you don't want your herd, a herd of deer on your, let's say you have a hunting ranch. You don't want your deer to be running rampant and with disease or high in numbers that they can't find enough forage and they're starving to death. You got to cull your herd. That's responsible management. And I think that overall, if you look at the giant umbrella of hunting and being responsible Christian, I think it has it's just a unique balance that we're asked. I really believe that we are the caretakers of what God's given us. And we sometimes are asked to, the responsible thing is to kill the animal. And that's a good thing. It's also sometimes you let them walk. My daughter is, we're all avid hunters, our whole family. And my daughter has let so many, even bucks, walk by her because she's very competitive and she wants to beat her brother. She wants the first deer she kills, she wants it to be better than any of the ones her brothers had brought down. So she's let some little 6 points walk by, which I don't think I would have, but that's the way she's being responsible. So, but there are many times we let deer walk when they could have easily been shot and brought home and eaten.
Well, here's a question about balance. If you didn't have hunters there, if you didn't have people living on the land, wouldn't the balance take care of itself? The natural balance and the natural predatory ways of certain animals would kill off the, you know, the sick ones would die and some of the others would be killed off, and the balance of the ecosystem would be in place. But when we start inhabiting certain areas, then we have to become part of that balance. Is that right? Or
sure, but it would, and of course it would balance itself out if it weren't for the fall of man. You know, the first time an animal died was when God put an animal skin on Adam because he had discovered that he was naked.
Right.
Until then, everything would have worked perfectly. And if it weren't for outside influences and things changing and us, you know, building houses and putting up all kinds of infrastructures that support our society, if we weren't taking away from the animals by everything else we did, I think it would all balance itself out. That's the way Eden was designed. And we screwed it all up.
Well, now, so I got to ask you about these deer that you kill. What clothes do you make out of those deer skin?
You're going to think this is funny. Well, you may not.
Probably
you know,
will.
We actually do some of the hides of deer that we kill. We'll harvest a deer. Sometimes those hides, we'll actually tan them. Now, Bill has taken great pleasure in teaching the kids how to tan a deer hide. And it's a long process. It's messy. It's nasty. You use a lot of salt. You just have to use the sun. And there are ways to soften that skin. So we actually do use some of those pelts. But for the most part, we just toss them.
Do you want to talk about what is used to soften that pelt?
Oh heavens, no! Because it's
that's
been
what
so,
I thought.
So nasty. I just don't
that's
even.
What
I don't
I
even.
Thought.
It. But Bill's like this big pioneer man. He likes to, you know, wants to teach the kids out from, you know, from the bottom up all this stuff about hunting and about animals and all that. So,
well, tanning a hide. That the only thing I can think about tanning a hide was that's what my father used to tell me when I would get out of line. He would say, "I'm going to tan your hide," and I knew what that meant. It had nothing to do with a deer, but it did have something to do with him taking me by the left hand and a belt in his hand and warping me pretty good. So,
yeah, but he didn't stake you out in the sun and stretch you out, did he?
That was coming if I didn't respond to the tanning of the hide, I can tell you that.
Hey, let me ask you this. Do you think there's any link between hunters and hunting and some of the horrifying shootings that we've experienced in the world here in the last 15 years?
That's hard to say, Janet. I really don't know. I haven't done any research on that, but I don't remember specifically any direct tie to any of the people involved in the shootings that were hunters or to tie into hunting. Now, I may be wrong about that. There may be some where the guns were sourced from someone who hunted, but I believe if that had been the case, that those who are anti-gun ownership would have brought that out, and I don't remember that having happened. Maybe you know something about that I don't know.
Well, no, as a hunting family, we kind of discuss it, you know, on and off every other day or so. We'll be talking about different things, and you know, right now you can't get any ammunition. If you own a weapon, even if you're a hunter, your ammunition is just wiped off the shelves. And
is that
guns
true
are
of all kind of ammunition? Everything?
Not of everything, but of the most common, you know, 30-30s and 7mm rifles and the things that most hunters will use. That stuff is it's skyrocketed in price if you can even find it. But now, even target shells are hard to find. It's crazy. I think it's just because, you know, at first I thought it was because people were afraid that their weapons were going to be taken away from them, and of course that the price is going to go up. I don't think we're at a place where we're going to lose our weapons. I just don't. I don't think the country will allow it. But I think that there are so many misinformed people that really believe that hunting and that a gun that is used to shoot a deer or a squirrel or a duck or a turkey or whatever is the same weapon that's going to be used to aim at children or at people, at, you know, human beings. I think there's a lot of misinformation about what weapons are. And there's so many people that are afraid of weapons that they don't take the time to educate themselves or try them out or learn about them. And it's just it is a basic right in our country to arm yourself and to protect your family.
And would you put weapons into three categories, let's say? One would be weapons that are primarily used to defend the country, that are used by either law enforcement or military. The other might be weapons that are used primarily for hunting, and those would be the rifles that you've mentioned here. And the third would be handguns that would be used for myriad reasons, but primarily for the protection that I would think would be discussed or thought about when you were talking about maybe the Second Amendment. Although when the Second Amendment was put in, there were rifles and, you know, long guns as well as pistols, probably more long guns than there were pistols at that point in time. So is that a rough categorization of weapons, do you think?
I think it's safe to assume that there are different categories, but it doesn't change in my mind the same weapon that the military uses that is an automatic weapon that will fire hundreds of rounds in seconds. I don't think it's something that I would want to own, but I sure don't have a problem with my neighbor owning one. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's overkill and it's unnecessary. But what if he's a gun enthusiast and he's a collector and he likes to have it just the same way you would like to have baseball cards, or you would collect glass that came from the 1600s? I mean, it doesn't change the fact, just because it can kill a lot of people or a lot of things really fast, doesn't change the Second Amendment in my mind. I think we were armed against a tyrannical government. I don't think we were armed so much as you need to protect your family from an intruder or a bear. I don't think that was what the Second Amendment was about.
I think the Second Amendment was in place to arm us against an obtrusive government. And I think that's exactly right. I believe that's the reason that it was put into place.
Well, I would have to question why somebody would want to own something that fires that many rounds or is that destructive. But the fact is, we said this before on a show, Timothy McVeigh didn't use a gun when he blew up the Murrow Building.
Well, like I said on the show, I think a couple of times ago, it's been shown that hammers and baseball bats far exceed guns in terms of being murder weapons in any one year. Now, that when I learned that, that was astounding to me, although I do know two people who were killed with baseball bats, and I didn't know personally anyone who's been killed by a gun.
Well, people die every minute, every second in a car accident. So that's a dangerous machine. That's a piece of dangerous machinery. And we already have reasonable laws in place where you have to pass a test to get to have the right to drive a car. It's not a right that you're born with, and it's not a right that's in the Constitution. It's a privilege. So, but I believe that weapons are a right, and we need to enforce the laws that are in place now. I don't think we need to start working on making them difficult to get or putting so many regulations in place that manufacturers can't make a living. I'm just not sure where we're going. I'm glad that people are talking about it and having a reasonable conversation about it. I think that people like Piers Morgan, he has a hard time accepting anybody else's reasonable explanation for anything. And why this man, who is a British citizen, is over here telling us.
I think they ought to deport his sorry butt.
Yeah, well, I agree with the sorry but part, and I agree with the deportation part too. I'm not sure how we could get that done, but it's not him. It's so many people that he represents. There are an awful lot of people that feel the same way he does, and it seems so closed-minded and so hard-headed that we can't have a reasonable discussion about, because there are pros and cons to both sides, but somehow he seems to be driven, and he just won't accept anybody else's even bending what he says. He feels very strongly the way a lot of people do. But
they ought to put him and Bill Maher and Rachel Maddow, let them have a show of their own.
Well, together. You know, I think there's so much anger and animosity because there's on radio and on talk shows and on even our show is very conservative. And for some reason, the conservative talk shows are far, far, far more profitable. They are more acceptable. And there's always a bigger listenership. We have a huge audience, and people like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly, people even consider him far right wing, which I think is funny. I think they're angry that they can't get the same numbers that some of these big hosts get. And I think they feel like if they scream louder about what they think or get uglier, then it's going to at least increase their listenership. And I don't think it does. I think it offends people. At least it offends me. So,
well, me too. And we're really in a fight, an ideological fight, I think, in our nation right now over a number of things. I know we've kind of gotten far afield from the gun issue, but what I really think is that we're in an ideological fight in this nation, and we're fighting between, I guess, socialism on one end and capitalism and entrepreneurism on the other. there's a tremendous polarization, I think, that's taken place. The people are moving into the two camps. There's very little middle ground there. And I think when you look at socialism, I don't know whether it was Thatcher or Reagan or who said this, or a number of them have repeated it, but the only problem with socialism is that at some point in time, you run out of other people's money. And I think that's where we are. As I was noticing earlier, our national debt is now at 16.49, so it's up about $20 billion over the last two or three days, and it's just moving along at a rapid clip. And I think we saw yesterday that's going to be what is going to be the agenda for the next three or four years. Certainly we've gotten far afield from would you shoot Bambi, but it does, when you think about that, it moves into other areas, and it all comes back to this, I think, ideological difference that we have from a national standpoint.
It is all tied together. It's like it's this giant onion, and there are so many layers, it's hard to know when you get to the next layer. So it is all relative to each other, the gun issues. But I really believe that Jesus would shoot a deer. I believe that he would find great sport in hunting. I think we were created in his image. I don't think that there is joy in death, but we're the ones that brought death around. So I have a real hard time with so many people that associate really bad things with guns, and they don't associate really bad things with baseball bats and hammers, as you had said before, or cars, or anything else that can be used as a weapon. It's not the instrument in their hand. It is the human being, and it is the messed up mind that, once again, we're the ones that brought this on. With the first bite of the apple, with the first disobedience, and not being satisfied with what we were given that was so wonderful. So,
yeah, I agree with that. We, and in our system of laws, we've gotten our panties in a wad in so many areas here that it's very hard to undo what we've done. Give you an example. How do you say that we should not legalize marijuana, even if it's just for medicinal purposes, when you have alcohol being one of the biggest killers, not only from a personal standpoint, but in the accident, from an accident-causing standpoint. So here you've got laws that are antithetical to each other, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. And that runs throughout our system. Every time you make one law, then you automatically are infringing on something else, and therefore you got to go over there and do something with that. It reminds me of the man who went in to get a suit, and the sleeves are too long. So the salesperson said, "Well, just hold the sleeves up this way and hold your arm in close to your chest." "Well, the pants are too long." "Well, if you'll hold your pants with both hands here, they'll fit." And so the man buys the suit and he walks out and he goes down the street and he's walking sort of like a cripple because he's holding this suit in this way. And a lady comes by and says, "Oh, isn't that a nice suit? I mean, isn't that sad that that man is so crippled?" And the other lady said, "Yeah, but doesn't his suit fit good?" But so that's kind of, you know, that's kind of where we are. There's so many unintended consequences when we try to alter something in one side, it just causes some problem on the other. So do you step back and start all over again? I think we probably should, from a tax standpoint, from our IRS standpoint. I think we probably should, and probably a lot of other places that we should do so also. So we've stepped aside from shooting Bambi, but I think hunting is a sport. I think it's a decent sport. I don't think that hunters are the people who shoot somebody else in general. I think it's certainly good for those who eat the meat. I'm not particularly fond of deer meat, but so be it.
Oh, you just hadn't had it fixed right. So the bottom line is we believe, I believe, and I genuinely, with all of my heart, believe that Jesus would be an avid hunter, that he would have the best rifle around. Not only that, but he'd have camo that could not be equaled by anybody. talk about your blending in.
Yeah. Oh, now we're gonna have baseball in heaven too, and I want Jesus coaching third base or hitting cleanup. I'm not sure, but.
Well, hey, listen, I hope our audience will let us know what they think, whether they believe that Jesus would have a rifle, whether he would be a hunter, an avid hunter, whether he thinks it's okay for us to hunt. If you have an opinion, we want to know it, and we certainly will give it some thought and possibly even give it some airtime. We'd love to talk about what you guys think. So come back and listen to us again. If you don't like us, there are lots of ways that you can find something interesting to listen to. You go to bigbrainsmedia.com, and you can listen to our show. You can listen to something else. There's it's just a veritable smorgasbord of different ideas and different topics from shows like Weather Brains or Worldview Matters or the Bama Talk Show, Eavesdrop, Auburn Unleashed, High School Heroes. There's an awful lot to listen to, and I thank the guys at Big Brains Media and also our producer, JP Spann. Man. And right now I'd like to thank my brain trust, Mr. Crash.
I think our audience is going to come back and say, "Are those two people crazy as an outhouse rat?" And I would say, "Yes, we are." Come back and be with
us. We'll see you, Crash.
See ya.